Sure height, isn't it? Not for me, I have to wind it down. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Who loves Jesus? Yes. Anybody love Jesus in the place? Yes. Only a few. In the diary of the Welsh Revival, Evan Roberts used to come around and not advertise himself coming as the main evangelist of the revival. And it started through with him, actually, through the Holy Spirit. And so he used to just turn up because he didn't want anyone to focus on him. He wanted everybody to focus on the Lord. So there was a story one night, the big chapel we're in was full. They were singing hymns in Welsh, of course. And so, you know, everybody was loving the Holy Spirit. And so he walked in and he said, who loves Jesus in this place? And everybody put their hands up. And he says, oh, you don't need me tonight. Amen. So would you turn your Bible to 2 Timothy, please? So this is a devotion, and so we're going to try and make it a devotion. I've been reading this book, or this letter, the 2 Timothy. Paul's last letter. And here he is speaking to a young man. It's around about AD 67, 64, around about there somewhere. And here he's writing to Timothy and giving him some advice about how to live after he's gone. You know, when you admire somebody, maybe your father or something like that, or somebody that's in the body of Christ who's been like a model to you or a spiritual father to you, just imagine, you know, what a void, in a sense it's like a void, isn't it? That somebody that you appreciate so much is gone. But he's left something. He's left a couple of letters to this young man, Paul. And he states in here his foundation. In the beginning of 2 Timothy, he states in here that he had a foundation and he could build on it, like his mother and grandmother both loved the Lord and so on. And so he's got a good foundation that he can build from in this letter. And so let's go, let me see, maybe chapter 1, verse 6, just a little bit of reading here. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Another translation says sound mind. And do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, for his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Suffering. A lot of people suffer and complain, and a negative conversation comes out of it. But when you suffer in the power of God, something different happens. So when you're suffering in the power of God, there's praise still in your spirit. There's still devotion in your spirit. There's still a love of God in your spirit because you're suffering in the power of God. But I've seen Christians and myself at times when I go, you know, call that grumble. You know that grumbly thing that sometimes you go when mum and dad don't do something you'd like them to do. They do something different. You go, I wanted to do this way. You know, that's the sort of thing when you're not suffering in the power of God. You're suffering in your own will. Is that right?
Yes.
Anyone there with that?
Yes.
Yeah? Every hand up. Okay. So I think that Paul's learned a lesson of how to live with God in such a fantastic place that he can suffer by the power of God and know that God's with him in the suffering. And if you trace his life, it is exactly that. Hallelujah. So I'm 80, coming 81 very soon. And so I've learned some things. I haven't perfected it yet, but suffering in the power of God certainly makes sense and it brings cleansing to your life. It brings joy to your life. I've gone through church splits as a church leader. I've gone through people despising me and not liking me, saying all sorts of things about me. All those sorts of things that happen in life that shouldn't happen if you're in love with each other, but they do because we're human, you know? So I'm just going to encourage you today to think beyond where you've been hurt. Think beyond where you've suffered and think about the power of God in your life. We sang about the Holy Spirit today, didn't we? And you can't do this on your own. You can only do this in the Spirit of God. That's why I say have some quiet time somewhere, maybe under a gum tree somewhere, or walking through the paddock, or sitting in a car driving, and say, Holy Spirit, just fill me. Fill me with your life. Amen? You ain't going to be filled with anything else but life. Because the Bible says the Spirit gives life to you. Is that right? You're not going to be filled with a snake or a rock, as Jesus said. If you ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you a stone or a rock or a serpent. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And even at your age, you can do that. You can say, Holy Spirit, I give my life to you. Fill me afresh. Amen? And then you just wait for that to happen in God's time. No pressure. It's all willingness of your own heart. You know that? So where we're going today is further by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Wow. Not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and brought us into... Sorry, this is in the road. Brought us... brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Did you get that? Amen. So let's think about this. This grace was given us in Christ before the beginning of time. What grace? We'll have a look down in chapter 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and the things you've heard from me say in the presence of many witnesses. And then he goes on talking about suffering. Suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. What's his suffering like? Well, let's just go over to Titus, over the page a bit, and see what it means, suffering here. Chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no, to ungodliness and worldly passions. Chapter 2, verse 11, you got that? And to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Look at all that. Wow. Isn't that amazing? You know, people in the world go, oh, you don't do this and you don't do that. And that's right. I do this and this and this. I think in today's world, I bring it right back to today where we are. We will suffer. We will suffer persecution if you haven't already. You'll have people in your lives who don't like Christians, but you'll have people in your lives who love Christians, even though they don't love Jesus. They love who you are because you're good, your integrity is right, and you model Christ's love for this world. And I think that's where evangelism is today. It's not so much in big tents so much anymore. People want to see people have hope in their lives. Mm-hmm. They want to see people have some sense of spirit in them. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at some of these people that stand up as going to be elected and so on, and you hear in their voice, you can't hear spirit. You can't hear courage. Mm-hmm. You can't hear strength. You think, I want to hear somebody who's got some courage and some vision and some passion and some sense of righteousness in them. Don't you? Mm-hmm. Isn't it time that the body of Christ was like this? And so you can't, it's difficult to live a holy life when you're, all right, you get that? It's a lot easier when you're in the fullness of the Spirit, when there's joy in your life, you know? And it starts from the source, the Holy Spirit, who is God, being filled with the Spirit. And everything else is just like second place. Everything else sort of melts away. So grace, when I was young, they used to say, GROCE used to be God's riches at Christ's expense. Yeah. That's what we used to say 45 years ago. Yeah. Yeah? God's riches at Christ's expense. Think about that. God's riches. Hey? The Bible says that the blessings of the Lord make you rich and don't add sorrow to it. Wow. All these things that make your heart pant. Like Psalm 42, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. You ever had that?
Yeah.
Longs for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's you can read it in Strong's Concordance and get the meanings of those heart longs for you. There's different types of words of long, And it's like, yeah, more and more and more. So here I am, approaching 81, about 45 years in, as a Christian, and my heart is still longing for the Lord. Mm. And I'm waiting for the day. People say, oh yeah, you know, you better go now, you know, but no, can't go till the Lord calls us home. And who wants to be called home early? I don't, do you?
No.
I want to be able to go home with everything that the Lord asked me to do, don't you? Yeah. Even though heaven's a lovely place, not that I've seen it yet, but I've seen the descriptions in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I have friends that have had visions of heaven and so on.
Mm.
But we wait, and we wait patiently. Mm-hmm. Amen? And I just want to finish with this. Waiting patiently is a joy. There's over here, a little bit further over here, about Paul saying to Timothy. He says, suffer like a good, verse 3. Join with me in suffering. The word really means patience, like a soldier of Christ Jesus. Okay, no one serving him gets entangled in civilian affairs. So think about patience. Here's this amazing, powerful grace that saved us and continues to save us. It can't be taken away, but can... You can grip it more in that sense of our experience. God's given us grace, that power, but we take hold of it, don't we? It's ours to have, and the more we grip hold of it, the more our hearts are entangled with his heart in that sense. Yeah? But then there's this sense of enduring, isn't there? There's patience, waiting for the Lord to come. And I thought about it, you know, SAS training, the army, you know, in the army as an SAS. soldier. I remember a mate of mine in Hobart from Vietnam. He said that we in the SAS we were sent out to watch a village, and so they would go carefully, and two of them they go to, and they would plant themselves in a bush or something, and they would stay there for 3-4 days, sometimes without moving, and watching where the enemy was going, watching was the enemy in this particular village or using this village. So they had all the things that were needed to be able to go back and report to their senior officer, this happened at this time, this happened at this time. And so they had to learn patience.
Mm.
I don't know about you, but if I stand too long in one position, everything within me goes, whoa, pain, pain, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. You have that? I have that at home, and I've got to do the washing up, and I don't want to do this and that, you know. Patient endurance. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there's that waiting on the Lord and waiting for him to do something causes suffering to us, causes pain. Why can't I have it now, God? So all this selfishness that sort of lurks within us sometimes, God is doing a patient work on that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sort of scrubbing us, cutting, you know, chiseling us, shaping us through the things that when we say, I want, we can't get. Amen? I remember in homeschooling, there was one day there was this little page for my children that said, who's on the throne today? Is I want on the throne?
Mm-hmm.
Or is Jesus on the throne? Mm-hmm. Would you like to replace I want with Jesus? And then we had a little prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Who's on the throne of your life today? Can you wait on the Lord with patient endurance? Can you spend your life in devotion of just pure holiness in your life? We ain't perfect yet, but we made it that way, aren't we? We're on a journey with the perfect one living in us. Isn't that the good news? We don't have to live with him outside and going, oh, this is too hard. We can live with him inside forever. Isn't that awesome? Do you like that? Yeah. So grace, think about grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Before I go, can we just close our eyes and just let God sink into us a bit about grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. Maybe in your heart you'd like to just give praise to him right now, just for a few minutes. Just enjoy your company. We enjoy what you've done for us, the way you've led us to become born of your Spirit. Your presence lives in us for the day that's coming. In a sense, Lord, we leave behind the things of this world and allow you to make us holy like you. And we rejoice today and say thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.